It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. It is un-freaking believable that you're here. It's it's coming to an end. 2017 will soon be here. 2016 will be gone. So, how are you preparing for 2017? You're not one of those people who's going to wait until January 1st to start thinking about your goals, are you? Come on, you're a go-getter. You're an achiever. You're probably even an overachiever. You're thinking about your goals now. You've all, if you're like me, you've already have them written down. And you're figuring things out. You're making things happen. All right. More about that later. Right now, let's get this party started with my first guest, John Livesay. John is a returning guest. I had him here not too long ago. And really enjoyed his energy. And so I wanted to bring him back. And so John Livesay is a funding strategist. John Livesay partners with Judy Robinette in Crack the Funding Code, which gets founders funded fast. I just love that phraseology, founders funded fast. He's also the host of the Successful Pitch podcast with investors from around the world. Inc. magazine calls him the pitch whisperer, and he has appeared on ABC, CBS, and Fox as an expert on how to ask for what you want and get a yes. John is the author of The Successful Pitch, Conversations on Going from Invisible to Investable. John Livesay, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Thanks for having me back, Bert. I appreciate it.
You know, it's good to have you here. I think this is such an important subject matter. And so I want to urge everybody to check out successfulpitchpodcast.com and pick up some of John's books. And really, this is, I think, some great stuff here, John. And I think you're doing a wonderful job helping founders get funded fast. Because, really, without capital, it's much harder. Things are so much easier when you have investors behind you and capital to work with.
It's so true, Bert. You need funding to really scale your business and grow fast, because someone else could have a similar idea or product, and if they get funded before you do, then they get market share. And I always use the analogy, if you already have Uber on your phone, do you really need Lyft? So it's really important to get funded so you can get to market fast and get that market share.
Absolutely. And listening to you say that, and this is going to date me a little bit, a Blockbuster Video later on became Blockbuster Entertainment. They're, I think, a great example of what you're talking about, because they weren't the very first people with a video rental concept. However, they were pretty formulaic about what they were doing. They had some distinct advantages or strategies really that worked well for them. And the fact that they were funded by Wayne Huizenga, and Wayne Huizenga had developed waste management, and he had, not only did he have some decent pockets, but he also had access to capital. And I remember at the height of Blockbuster growth, they were opening up a store every 24 hours. And
it's true.
And
even like Starbucks. Yeah.
What's that?
Starbucks was the same kind of thing. Howard Schultz pitched a lot of investors and got a lot of no's for his idea of bringing coffee shop cultural community places like he saw happening in Italy to the U.S. And he had to get a lot of no's before he got the funding to make Starbucks open at that same pace you were talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think that's another great example. And it's really, you know, between grabbing market share and then being that second place winner, you know, and in the mind of the consumer, and I love the example you gave as well, that if I have Uber, do I need Lyft? Or, you know, vice versa, whoever gets that consumer first wins is really what it comes down to.
It does. And, you know, you need to be able to pitch to get people to join your team.
Yeah.
Because it's all about having a great team. And then, of course, you need to be able to pitch to get customers. And then you also need to pitch to get investors. So what we're talking about today, which is really how to be a master storyteller, as Plato said, storytellers rule the world, so we can give your listeners some really valuable techniques and takeaways on the different kinds of storytelling genres and some examples of great storytelling so they can start to craft their own elevator pitch / pitch for whatever they need.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Let's talk about this. I want to ask you about what you mean when investors say they invest in the jockey, not the horse. Talk about this. I think it's so vitally important.
Yes. People are investing in the team because the idea will most likely pivot multiple times, and that's the horse. So you need to be able to show people when you're getting them to hire you, to get them to join your team, to get them to be a customer. You know, the mistake people make pitching anything is to get into all the details of how a product works, when in fact, you need to sell yourself first, because people buy from people they trust, like, and know. And you need to tell a story about yourself, about why you're so passionate about what you're doing, how you came up with this idea. And that's what people are going to remember and resonate with, because people buy emotionally and then back it up with logic. So people tell me, oh, I'm not really comfortable, quote, selling myself. And I said, well, then forget selling and tell stories instead. So tell us a story about a time when you had to overcome a big challenge and how you did it. Tell us a story about a customer that you're helping them solve a problem and how you would want to help other people solve those same kind of problems on a mass scale.
Yes, absolutely. And this is so vitally important, because how you tell people about yourself is almost as important as your accomplishments. You know, and this, because there's that fine line between telling a story and bragging about yourself, right? Or telling somebody about your accomplishments and then sounding all hyper, hype.
People respond to people who have a sense of humility and not arrogance, and yet have had to overcome some challenges, that it wasn't all easy and it wasn't all fast. People respect that and can relate to that. And the more open you are when you're pitching or being asked questions by investors about, you know, look, we tried this, it didn't work, we pivoted, and now we're doing this, and this is working. Well, that shows resilience, that shows perseverance, and those are the kinds of characteristics that investors are looking for, but they want to hear it through a story or example, as opposed to just saying, I'm somebody who doesn't give up.
Right. No, absolutely. I love that. All right, so what is the best way, in your experience, to meet investors? How should I prepare for those meetings? Talk about this.
Sure. Well, the best way to connect with investors is through a warm introduction. That's how they prefer to, because you're already getting vetted by someone who they know and respect, and they know and respect you. So that's why Judy Robinette and I created Crack the Funding Code, was to not only help people get a great pitch, but then put them in front of the right investors and get them in the right room. Because you can spin your wheels pitching to someone who doesn't invest in your type of business. So if you are talking to an investor who only invests in healthcare and technology, and you have an idea or a product that's not in that wheelhouse, then that's not a good introduction, and that's not somebody good to be pitching in front of, because that's not what they like to invest in. So you really have to do your due diligence on what they care about. And the real secret, Bert, is do some due diligence on the people they've already funded. And you can find that information out on their website. Typically, they list the other companies they funded. and reach out to those founders and say, what's it like to work with this person? Are they easy? Are they hard? Are they micromanagers? Do they have a lot of connections? And get a sense of what it's like, and that will really set you apart from everyone else. So finding them through warm introductions in your network, or working with someone who knows investors who will vet you, and so you have that relationship going. And then when you get in the room, you know, you need to grab their attention, as we said last time, in the first 90 seconds, and then really tell them what makes you special. You know, don't hide it. If you have somebody great on your team that works someplace that's impressive, bring that up. If you've got a lot of traction with users, talk about that up front. If you've got some publicity, talk about that. You know, show things that give you credibility right away, because you want to make them feel like you're really the right person to make this come to life. And I find that the best way to do that is to learn some basic techniques of storytelling. And it's all about describe exposition, problem, solution, resolution. So if I may, let me give you a quick example.
Yes, please.
One of my clients, Martin, you know, I have people work on their confidence, as we talked about last time, by stacking your moments of certainty when you knew you nailed it. And he did that exercise, and he said, well, for me, I grew up in the Netherlands, but I was born in South America. And when I turned 18, my parents took me back to South America and dropped me off naked in the Amazon jungle to survive for 2 weeks, because in my culture, that's a rite of passage into manhood. I said, wow. Woo, that gives me goosebumps. That's memorable. I said, all right, now we're going to work on that. That's the opening to your pitch. I said, what lessons did you learn in the Amazon jungle? Well, I learned how to focus and persevere and pivot. I said, great. And you're going to take those lessons from the Amazon jungle to the concrete jungle of being an entrepreneur. And when he had that practiced and honed with me, got in front of the right people, he won a pitch contest and got the funding he was seeking, because the investor said, I'm going to put my money on the guy that survived the Amazon jungle, because he'll survive any problems that happen in business. So that's an example of a great story, selling yourself. Now let's break it down. Exposition, who, what, where, when, right? You paint the picture. He's 18 years old. He's naked. Sometimes, Bert, he would forget to say that's a rite of passage in his culture into manhood. I said, Martin, if you don't say that, it sounds like child abuse, right?
You know what? It's so totally true. Because when you said rite of passage, it's completely different. And you think it's totally cool, as opposed to if you leave that out, you do think it's, wow, that's a little out there. That's a little abusive.
Exactly.
Anyways, paint the picture.
So that's the detail. You know, exposition requires enough detail, painting a picture, putting someone in the story with you, and giving the context. And then you describe the problem, right? Well, I was naked in the Amazon jungle. I had to figure out how to stay focused, and I needed to persevere and figure out how to find food, whatever it was, right? And then the solution was, he took those life lessons from the Amazon jungle to the concrete jungle, and just those, that's very descriptive, right? You imagine the contrast there. And then, of course, the resolution is he won a pitch contest and got funded. So there is an example of why that story works, is because it has structure. So for everyone who wants to become a master storyteller, use that structure: exposition, problem, solution, resolution.
I love that, man. That's perfect. And, you know, and I love that. That to me is such a memorable story about being dropped in the jungle naked as a rite of passage. And what's interesting, it also reminded me of a story that has been told thousands of times by Sir Richard Branson. His mother, at the age of 4 or 5, dropped him 2 miles from his house, and he had to find his way home.
And yes, that will teach you. That's like being jumped in a pool without learning how to swim first. I'm not a big proponent of that, but I know for some people it works. Yeah.
No, but you know what? It's such a great story that immediately makes you think that Branson could handle anything.
Yes.
And I think that in the story, you know, it's out in the country, so it's not like out in some city where, you know, he could be abducted.
Right, he's not going to get hit by a car.
And
hate right, yeah.
Everybody, and, you know, but bottom line is, it's just like this jungle story, it builds confidence in the jockey versus the horse.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of times people say to me, well, I don't have a story like that in my life. And I say, yes, but we all have stories. You know, there's stories of origin, where we come up with the idea. There's stories about our family. There's stories about trips we've taken. So let's talk about the four different basic story genres, a movie, and then a brand that's using that genre so that people can start to craft their own story. Does that sound good?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. So the first one is Rags to Riches. And, of course, that's the classic Cinderella story, isn't it? And Johnny Walker Scotch uses that. You know, Johnny Walker used to be this poor Scottish farmer, and now he's Johnny Walker, right? So if you have a Rags to Riches story, that could be a genre for you to use. The next one is The Quest. And, of course, that's Lord of the Rings. And Lexus uses that in their tagline, The Pursuit of Perfection. It's an ongoing journey. Then another genre I really like is Leave Home and Come Back and Tell About It. Well, that's what The Wizard of Oz is all about, isn't it? And Expedia uses that genre where they tell people, leave home, book a trip, have an adventure, book it on Expedia, and then come back and tell all your friends about how great it was. And then the final one is Rebirth, which is one of my favorite holiday movies. It's a Wonderful Life. And Prudential uses that genre and says, retirement is a rebirth. It's your third act. Let us help you plan for it. So there you go. Four genres, four movies to help you remember and think of the structure, and then four brands that are using that story to tell their story.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because now that you talk about these, people I can hear people out there in the audience thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I see this. I see this with AT&T or with this brand or, you know, MasterCard has a variation of, you know, the rebirth or the, you know, leave home and come back and tell us about it. And I think American Express, remember American Express for years had the kind of a similar leave home type story where a couple, their luggage got lost, right? They left home, their luggage is now lost, and they're saying, you know what, forget about the luggage. We have the American Express card.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, you know, I love that. And this rags to riches formula, it works really well. I mean, a lot of movies, books, novels, we love the underdog. We love the rags to riches story.
Well, Oprah is a classic example of using that for her own personal brand. Yes. And if I can do it, you can do it, right? And if you didn't have to overcome all the challenges I did. So, again, you've got the structure of a story, and now you've got story genres to pick from. You can now start to craft your own personal story about your company, your brand, and yourself.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. You know what? I want to take a step back because you mentioned confidence and you were talking about Martin. And let's talk about this a little bit more because you have three specific secrets that you talk about as far as increasing confidence. One of them you mentioned as far as, how did you say it? Stacking memories or stacking?
Stacking in moments of certainty. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Remember all the times you knew you nailed something and put that into your head before you go and pitch so the negative self-talk doesn't take over.
Okay. And then, so what's the other one?
Well, we all get nervous and, you know, we get butterflies in our stomach. And I say the goal is not to get rid of those butterflies, but to get them to fly in formation, which means take the negative energy in your stomach and get it out and make a gesture. And also take the focus off of yourself and stop worrying about what other people think of or like you or invest with you or buy from you and make it about them and not yourself. And finally, prepare. The third one is, you know, don't try to wing it. Have a really strong opening and a really strong closing prepared before you get in front of anybody because the key to success is confidence and the key to confidence is preparation.
Key to confidence is preparation. I love that. You know, and I think that there are times when, quote, winging it may come into play, but you cannot wing something that you don't know backwards and forwards, and you only know it through preparation and repetition and tweaking it and working on it. And so, you know, I'll use your book as an example, cracking the funding code. I bet you that, you know, if I was to put you on the spot, you know, I could pick out different chapters and quote, you could wing it, but you can wing it right now because you wrote it and you prepared it and you've written, you know, and I'm sure that you and your partner, Judy Robinette, you know, edited it and re-edited it and talked about it. So it's embedded in your DNA almost.
It is. In fact, you know, that's the process, especially the introduction and that first two or three paragraphs, much like a pitch. You work and work on that to make sure you grab the reader's attention. And, you know, we decided to name the book The Successful Pitch because that's the name of my podcast for consistency of brand awareness. So when people think of me, the pitch whisperer, then they think of, oh, he's got the podcast and the book with the same name, The Successful Pitch. And what they do is they help you crack the funding code.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, and that's a smart move. The Successful Pitch, conversations on ongoing from invisible to investable. Love the whole title. Love the subtitle. Again, the book is by John Livesay, Livesay. And the book is called The Successful Pitch, conversations on going from invisible to investable. I think everybody should get this. This is a resource that everybody should get. You know what, in this whole thing of preparation, I know that a lot of people, I can just see them rolling their eyes and going, oh, I've heard that so much. But what I love about this strategy of preparedness, first of all, like all truths, they're simple. They're not based on the day of the week. They're not based on on technology. They're not based on the economy. Truths are always truth, right? And so, always simple. And if you're not prepared, then you're kidding yourself walking into a room of investors. You have to be prepared. It cannot be overstressed. This is
right. It's the Super Bowl of meetings. It's your Olympic moment. And you have to think of yourself like an athlete. And those people certainly train and practice. And what makes you think you don't have to? So that's the analogy that people seem to really resonate with.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think that's a great analogy. Let me ask you this, John, kind of changing the subject ever so slightly. When you look back, you know, between your career and your book and your podcast and everything else, what is one of your favorite pieces of advice that you ever got, or maybe the best piece of advice that you ever got that you frequently utilize in your life?
Invest in yourself. That's the best piece of advice I've ever gotten. And it came into play for me before I started to launch my podcast, because I was just helping people with their pitch and they said, well, I also need introductions to investors. And I thought, well, I don't know any, and I don't do that. And then enough people said, well, I need it, that I figured out I have to figure out a way to do this. And if I could start a podcast where I could interview investors who would want to meet the people I coached with a good pitch, then it's a win for everyone. But I had to really make the investment in learning how to host a podcast, investing in a mic, investing in editing it, investing in promoting it, on getting the guests and the time. So I invest time and money to launch a podcast. And I had a lot of fears about, like, what if nobody wants to be on my show? What if nobody listens to it? Well, all the tech stuff that goes into it. You know about all the tech stuff. It's challenging. There's ways, you have to overcome all that and say, well, I'm investing in myself. And if people don't want to be in the show, I'm not going to take the rejection personally. And if it fails, I'm just going to take that as feedback and keep going until I get a zombie idea so great it won't die, as my friend Jay Samet says. And then I found someone that edits. Isn't that a great quote? And then I have someone that edits my podcast for me, so I don't have to do the tech part. So that's what allows me to, you know, invest in. But it still requires money and time, and it's paid off in spades. Robinette was my second guest, and we became business partners. And now I've done over 100 episodes, and I have a network of investors that say, bring me good deals all the time. And that helps people who are considering hiring us to say, well, I want to work with you because not only can you help me with my pitch, but you know the people and you know exactly what they want to hear because they've told you on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. Invest in yourself. Again, this is something that all of us can do. And, you know, one of the things that I learned a long time ago, it's not about your resource, because a lot of people say, well, I don't have any money. I don't have any connection. I don't have this or I don't have that. It's about being resourceful. You know, we still have this available. It may not always be available, but right now there are literally, I don't know if it's a million or half a million, or but there's literally tens of thousands of public libraries that can give you access to digital resources, physical resources, books, audios. There's so many ways you can invest in yourself. Even if maybe you're financially tight, you can go and check these books out. There's so many resources on the internet. YouTube has become one of my favorite tools for investing in myself. There's a lot of great strategies, audios, videos from people that are more successful than I am, that are that I admire more, that have done more. And you can go there and you can kind of pick their brain a little bit. And so I love this concept of investing in yourself, because ultimately that is the one strategy that pays forever.
Yes, exactly. It's so true. And the things you learn and all that stuff. So, you know, if someone drove a $250,000 Ferrari in front of your house and they said, hey, you can have the pink slip for $8,000, you would figure out, you would be resourceful how to get that $8,000. So I always tell people, don't do that to yourself. Oh, I don't have the money. Figure out, borrow it, put it on a credit card. You're investing in yourself to learn. And people find the money to smoke and drink and all the other things they want to do. So don't let I don't have the money be the reason you don't invest in yourself.
I love it. I love it. John, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. Love to bring you back again. And maybe next year we'll bring you back. And, you know, if the time allows, and we'll get the year started right for a lot of our entrepreneurs. John Livesay, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing today.
My pleasure, Bert. Thanks. Have a great holiday.
You bet. Good stuff there from the see if I get this right, the Pitch Whisperer, the Pitch Whisperer. You can find him on Facebook. You can also find him on Instagram. You can also find him on his website. It's called SuccessfulPitchPodcast.com, SuccessfulPitchPodcast.com. You can also pick up his book there, The Successful Pitch, Conversations Ongoing from Invisible to Investable, Livesay. And as you can tell, John knows what he's talking about. And I bet you that this book and visiting his podcast will help you get funded fast. All right. That's a wrap for today. As always, we're grateful for you guys coming by. We're grateful for all our listeners, our followers, our supporters. We appreciate the fact that you guys support us on Facebook Live, that you support us on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, on iHeartRadio. We appreciate your support immensely. You guys bring us great ideas for shows, great guest ideas, and we appreciate that. And I hope that you guys will continue to spread the word. We can always help more people if you help us help more people. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.